Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I'm gonna make it bend and break. Say a prayer, but let the good times roll. In case God doesn't show. And I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is?
If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Boy, you know what it's time to do, Janice.
I can smell an expert.
It's an expert fitness segment.
Oh, yay.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's throw one in there.
All right. As long as I don't have to do push-ups again, then I'm fine.
No, not today. Okay. Not today. I thought we might just talk about how better to help yourself achieve your fitness goals. And this came from a friend of mine. I was at a studio the other day pitching a show with my friend Andy, and she is the pregnancy fitness expert, right? She's specialized in pregnancy fitness, and we were talking about a show for moms, calling it the fourth trimester, and Andy essentially goes in to help women kind of get their lives back on track, and she's you know, part trainer, part life coach, because obviously it's going to throw, you know, having a kid throws your life into a bit of chaos and the marriage and all of that stuff. And as we were talking, they were saying, can you tell us some stories of what we might see, right? Things that women go through. And she had talked about a client of hers that had lived next to a supermarket. So she was early for this client, and she had pulled into the supermarket parking lot to get some lunch and then was in her car just sending emails. And she sees her client walk out of the supermarket, and she's like, oh, you know, and waves and then rocks up to the client, and the client's got, you know, like a 400 calorie frappuccino in her hand.
Oh, no.
And all kinds of crap in the bag. And Andy's like, what? We talked about this. Right? You know, she's like, what the hell? And I'll never forget the one time I did happen to bust a client at a supermarket with ice cream in their bag. And it got me thinking, because so many times people are like, I'm not getting the results I want. And as a trainer, you hear that all the time. I don't know. I'm just not losing. I'm not losing. And so number one, let's be honest with ourselves, okay? Let's take some responsibility when we're not cutting it. So I don't want to hear from you, I work out and I'm not losing the weight. Really? Are you having ice cream in the middle of the night? Are you having the 400-calorie Frappuccino? Are you eating 4 slices of pizza for lunch? Are you going through the drive-thru? If you're not being honest with yourself, and then you're allowing yourself to get discouraged or disappointed with your trainer or disappointed with your exercise regimen, and you're like, oh, it doesn't work. Well, yeah, because you're probably not hitting things on all 4 cylinders. How many cylinders? All the cylinders.
It depends on the type of vehicle, but
all cylinders are not firing.
All the cylinders, yeah. That's...
Yeah, you got to get all the cylinders to fire to make the car move forward.
That's right.
Yeah. Could be 12 cylinders or a sports car.
Exactly. Well, we'll just deal with the 4 that I have.
I have 12.
Shut up. Do you really?
I don't know.
Is it really 12?
It's fast.
I know. You like fast cars.
I do like fast cars, but now that I'm like a parent, I'm like, God, I got to get a minivan.
I've been driving a minivan.
We've got it.
I know. When I moved up, you know, to do what I've been doing, I got rid of my vehicle because I didn't need it. And it was an expensive vehicle, fast.
And you got a minivan.
I'm driving my dad's minivan.
Well, I wouldn't do that publicly.
I have to go from A to B, but I don't tell a lot of people.
Can you wear like a disguise? Like a hat and
glasses?
I've worn a
floppy, and don't get me wrong, I'm not being ungrateful. Okay, this is not being ungrateful for
really?
The vehicle.
I'm ungrateful for you. Like, even when I actually looked into Bentley car seats. They're not legal in America, but I was like, that's a nice looking car seat. My friend was like, I know, it's not legal. It doesn't meet security standards.
A Bentley car seat probably costs more than a minivan.
Brittany actually called England for me, right? Because they didn't sell them in America. And she goes, I found it. I was like, fantastic. And she goes, Jill, she goes, I don't meet security standards. I can't buy this for you. And I was like, damn it. And I was like, what if we duct tape them into the car seat?
I want to know how much a Bentley car seat costs.
I'm kidding. I don't know. We obviously did not buy it.
That would be 14 million pounds.
I know, right? Why have we gotten into this? Anyway, be honest.
Oh, yeah. Be honest.
Be honest with yourself, for God's sakes. Be honest with yourself, okay, if you're cheating, for God's sake. And get real. If you want to see changes, you got to make the changes. Next one. Be clear with your trainer about how they can help you. You know, if you want bigger biceps, tell them, I want to get bigger. I want bigger biceps. Or if you just want to run a 5K, tell them that. But you got to learn to communicate. And you also, if you don't have a trainer, you need to figure out what the hell you want out of your workout and train accordingly. So, like, it's very, for example, like, I don't want to bash this one product, right? But it's a workout product. And it's a series of DVDs. And I've often watched the program and thought, I don't understand who this is for. Is it for the person that wants to get smaller, like to get leaner, or is it for the person that wants to gain mass? And the program never identifies, like, this is what we do.
Right.
And so you'll see women who want to get leaner and they're like, I'm not really getting smaller. I'm in great shape. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, because you're doing, you know, you're like stopping to do 20-pound bicep curls. But then, yeah, then another one of the workouts, you'll be doing yoga or something. But the workout doesn't specify, this is the science behind the workout to get you blank. Because, by the way, if you want to get big and put on size, it's a completely different workout than if you want to get lean and you want to get shredded. Yeah. So whether it's your trainer or the class you're taking or you're controlling your fitness regimen, be specific with yourself about what you want to do the homework. Because gaining size or building muscle versus getting smaller and getting lean is totally different diet and totally different exercise. Next one, personalize the workout a little bit. Personalize it with your own music, your fitness gear that you get. You know, we've talked about this before. Get the cool gear that makes you feel good. Play the music. We've gotten into that one. Here's one that I really like, and I've worked on this recently. I kind of have a little mantra now that I do when I'm working out, because I just lately, I'm like, oh, dear God. It's just like, you know, you're trying to squeeze it in between everything that's going on in your life, and it's really the last thing you want to be doing. And I don't have time to get to the gym, so I'm using my little incline trainer. And so you know, I'm like, oh, I'm working out at home, so my ego's not even playing a part because there's nobody to impress.
Right.
Or, by the way, nobody to judge me for not being impressive, which is really what's going on. You know, and it's tough. Like, if I'm at the gym, I'm like, I should run faster. My neighbor is looking at my speed on the treadmill, and they're thinking, that's Jillian Michaels, and this bitch is running slowly. So, like, I'll try to run faster or whatever. But, like, when you ring
it, it motivates.
Oh, my God.
Works.
When you're working out at home, I'm just like, oh, God, I just want to be dead, you know. Yeah. And I'll have my little mantra on it, and it's like, you know, right now, at the moment, it's for my family. And I'm like, this is for my family. This is for me to be mentally healthy and physically healthy for my family. I want to be around a long time. I want to be a mom my kids can be proud of. Like, this is important to me. So I think about that. You know, whatever your mantra might be, whether you're a young kid and it's like spring break, you know, bikini, skinny jeans, or you're, you know, 38 like myself and that's what you're thinking, or you're 60 and you're think God knows what, doesn't matter, I don't care what it is, have a little mantra and remind yourself why you're doing it, what you're doing it for. And another thing I do is I get like a vision in my head of what I see, and it helps me. So like, I'll be listening to my music and I will think about what I'm working towards. So like, I'll see myself on the beach paddleboarding with my kids. You know, I'll think about that. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to be that active mom. I want to be the mom that is physical with them. And like, I know that I have this neighbor. He's got like a 7-year-old daughter, and he's always got her out on the paddleboard and into the kayak. And I think this sucks because my kids don't have a dad to do that with. You know, they've got Giancarlo and they've got my brother, but they don't have a dad to go and do those things with. You know, you never see the mom like, okay, get on the paddleboard, let's swim out to sea. So I'm like, I want to be in shape to be able to do that for them and make sure they're safe and they're okay. And of course, yes, I'll put the life preserver on. But, you know, my point is before people...
Because I was going to ask about that.
No,
you know.
Well, trust me, Michael's takes infant on paddleboard after a Bentley car seat. Irresponsible, selfish, narcissistic, shallow bitch that she is. But, you know, my point is just that's my vision and that's my mantra. And it helps me get through it and even run a little bit faster, you know, whatever it might be. So get that vision in your head. See the body that you want. See yourself living in that body. And I used to tell that to all my contestants. I was like, look, we can do this one of two ways. You can come in this gym and it can be hours upon hours of punishment, or you can really think about your why. What is it that you want? What are you doing this for? What is it that you're hoping to achieve? And let that motivate you and drive you so you're working towards a goal as opposed to coming in and being flogged for X amount of hours at a time. So try it. And then I would say, look, eat right, but don't go crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't go crazy. I allow myself to have chocolate every day. I mean, yes, I do have, the brand I like is called Green and Blacks. It's organic. But I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I eat pasta. I have a glass of wine. I do those things. I just do them with balance. I work them into my calorie allowance. So you don't have to deprive yourself. I'm not asking you to do that, but I'm asking you to find that balance and that honesty and that truthfulness. And, you know, really, yeah. So it's all about results and staying motivated. And last but not least, patience. If you want results from your regimen, you've got to be patient. And I am the queen of delivering fast results. Because like, I've always said to people, look, you know, this doesn't take a brain surgeon. Eat less, move more, you're going to lose weight. But I think the reason there are a couple reasons why I think I became so successful at it. But I take weight off of people fast. You know, I'm good at that. That's what I do. I can get weight off of people and make sure they're perfectly healthy. But I do it fast. I do it faster than anyone's ever done it. And I think that's, you know, was the thing with me. It was like I would destroy any trainer on loser that I ever worked with because I was fast. I would, you know, manipulate the science and maximize every possible way to change your body quick. And I, you know, studied it and I applied it and all this crap. But the truth of the matter is, as fast as I do it, I still need patience from you. Even with Body Revolution, I'm asking for 3 months. 3 months. I need 3 months for you to really, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you'll see a difference in 2 weeks. Sure you will. But like, I need patience from you and you need patience from yourself. Like, you've got to stick with it. Patience and fortitude. Those two things. My shrink was telling me about this. The two lions outside of the New York Library. One says patience and one says fortitude. Patience and fortitude, people. I'm done.
Wow.
Finished. Do you think it would be wrong to get the, you know, Ferrari makes a car seat and it's,
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do when it's legal here. It meets the safety standards.
Well, what's wrong with the one, what's wrong with the Brits that they don't have?
I don't know. It doesn't meet the standards. I don't know. I just stopped thinking about it because it's like, you know, you,
well,
you
does it
don't
have,
wanna,
do well, you have to have a car seat that has the Bentley insignia on it?
No, I just like the way it looks. Like, if I have to have a car seat, like, I'm definitely, like, I'm trying to get to this place where I'm like, okay, so, like, I can't drive this kind of car anymore. You know what I mean? Like, all these things are changing. At least we can have a fashionable car seat.
Well, is it a four-door or is it a two-door?
It's a four-door. Four-door.
I've seen it parked on the street.
Oh, my fast car?
Your fast car.
No, that's a two-door.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what's the four-door you're going to get? A mini? I think you should get a minivan.
I used to have a Lexus Hybrid, and I felt really good about myself when I did. And then I got a Bronco, which is like, you know.
Oh, my God.
I loved it, this old Bronco. I loved it. But I don't think it's the safest car for kids.
No, I want...
There's no airbags, so...
I'm going to vote that you get a minivan, and I think you'd look
good
in it.
Not a minivan. Let's call it a Lexus Hybrid. It's not a minivan. Don't say minivan.
Well, you're going to need it. What if you end up having...
The door doesn't slide. It opens and closes. Hence, not a minivan.
Well, I think the sliding's very
handy. What about that Porsche Cayenne? Then I can still appear to be cool, but it has four doors, and it does look like a minivan, but it's a Porsche.
Does it have a baby seat?
Put a Ferrari baby seat. Maybe we should stop more before I completely ruin my career.
Your career.
Moving on.
Okay.
Alrighty.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same. I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again.
As you can see, I have brought back my favorite doctor, Dr. Katya Van Hurley. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. V, I need you here for this one because this is about type 2 diabetes. I'm just going to give you the headline, and here it is. New research gives clear proof that weight loss surgery can reverse and possibly cure diabetes. And doctors say the operation should be offered sooner to more people with the disease, not just as a last resort. Okay, you know that this makes me want to kill somebody. Okay, as a trainer, I can just say, look, I'm a trainer. I've helped people lose weight. I've helped them eat better. I've helped them work out. I've seen them come off their type 2 diabetes medication. So what, please just help me. You're the endocrinologist. This is your specialty. You're the best at this in the world. Am I wrong to be furious at this? I'm done. Speak. I'm irate.
So I understand what you're saying, Jillian, and I think there's pros and cons to everything. First of all, good for them for doing a study. This was a study out of Cleveland Clinic, and they looked at about 150 patients,
really,
a big group, bariatric surgery, weight loss surgery. There's several kinds, right, from gastric banding, from bypass, from actually open surgeries, versus laparoscopic, and we can talk about all those.
I'll be honest, I don't understand. I'm against all of them.
Yeah. So if you look at, first of all, what are these surgeries? These surgeries are all to one end, and what's the goal? To make a smaller stomach so that, A, you absorb less calories, and also you have what we call early satiety, so that you feel full quickly.
So eat less.
Eat less. And by eating less and absorbing less calories, you will lose dramatically weight. So lap banding, and that has to do with actually putting a band, and it means laparoscopic, so that's with instruments with 4 to 6 incisions in the stomach, so it's not a cut, a big cut, where they open up your guts, but it's cameras and all different tools So they can visualize with a laparoscopic camera what they're doing. They can put bands. It's just like putting literally, I'm going to say it simply, rubber bands right. around areas of your stomach. You know the magicians that make those balloons yeah. in the at the kids' parties?
Yes.
And they turn it into little hot dogs, weenie dogs, and like Mickey Mouse and all that. Okay, so they're banding your stomach so that there's certain portions that are closed off. Then there's sleeve surgeries or gastric bypass surgeries where they actually will take out a whole portion of your stomach, reconnect it to a part of the small intestine. So what you end up getting is like a pipe so that when you eat, you don't get this nice pouch like what your stomach looks like a nice pouch with all the different cells that you need for absorption. You actually chop those away, leave maybe a third of the stomach, and then connect it directly to the small intestine. So they're fancy names for all these things. So banding, sleeve surgery, gastric bypass. It can be with the laparoscopic cameras, oh or it can be with open surgeries.
So what kind of side effects, right? I mean,
right. So
exactly. I mean, come on.
So if you look at the study, I think that the important thing to remember is patients that are morbidly obese, and we're using body mass index right now okay. as our targets. Body mass index has to do with weight and height. It's just a way of calculating weight and height and how much fat actually is in the body. So BMIs, body mass indices of patients that are over 30 are considered obese. If you're in a category under that, meaning if you're in a category from, say, 20 to 30, that kind of range, 25 to 30, you're overweight. But for patients over 30 for their BMI, those patients are obese. And then once you start getting 40 and higher, you're in morbid obese.
Right.
We know that for morbidly obese patients, and for most of us, if you're talking about a general height of a man or woman of, you know, up to, let's say, 5'5 to 5'8, 6 feet tall, you're talking about 300-500 pounds. Okay. Patients like that yeah. have a death rate within 5 years that is extraordinarily high.
Right. Okay.
So in patients that really have tried and failed everything, and that there's obviously emotional components, food components, genetic components, this kind of a procedure really can save their life. Now, okay. notice I'm not even talking about diabetes right now.
Right, okay.
But in all those other patients, I would still say this is something you have to look at the same way that I'd look at any surgery. And I take an example which may be extreme as an endocrinologist, and that is look at transgender surgeries. Mm. So transgender assignment, when people go for a sex change operation.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm saying this for a reason. It sounds a little bit
like
shocking. Why am I saying that? Why would I compare a lap band or a gastric bypass to that? When we have patients, and we have those, that truly need to get a reassignment of their gender, they're going to have to, you know, have breast removal, vagina change, build a penis, etc. All those things. Those patients have to go through a lengthy psychological review.
Right.
They have to have preparation for those kind of surgeries because the whole point of that surgery is as much as these patients truly will feel
like
that they need to have their gender assigned because they're not in the right body, which I agree with for those who go through the process,
yeah.
it changes the rest of your life. This kind of surgery, in my opinion, needs to be vetted by the medical community, psychologists, social workers, physicians, nurses, in the same way. Because I call it lap band-aid, meaning you can band-aid it, we can do it, and in the next, you're going to lose 10 to 20 pounds every month for that next probably 2 years. But ain't nothing good going to happen after that if you don't change the core of what got you there.
Yeah.
This is why I think, Jillian, you and I are on the same page.
Right? Thanks for that. Pat on the back.
You and I are on the same page because these are life-changing surgeries. And if you lose weight, you go off insulin and diabetes, let alone cholesterol, your cortisol numbers, everything goes down. Terrific. Fantastic. And isn't it great to get a window of opportunity if you're morbidly obese and you can really save your life and not die within those 5 years? Yeah. But if you're somebody who is trying to lose weight, and even if you're obese or let alone overweight, isn't it better to have a really good workup to that? Meaning you're going to change every single thing about your thinking, about how your family runs, about your job, about your home relationships, what keeps you up at night, what really is your meaning in life. I mean, I'm talking deep theological and philosophical right. stuff here. You've got to find your God out of food, into health and exercise. You got to find your God before you get your little lap Band-Aid. And I don't want to minimize it. One of the faults I thought, I humbly say this, in this study was it was funded not only by the companies that provide the surgical equipment, but let's be fair, but several of the researchers were consultants to those companies and paid consultants. So that's called good disclosure in scientific right. procedures, but it's not the way you run a clean study. So what we would like to see, because I think that this study is important, as I said, for morbidly obese people. It does give them a second chance. But what we want to see is a clean, unbiased, funded study by, let's say, National Institute of Health, CDC, National Science Foundation. We want a peer-reviewed study with non-biased researchers. And I'm not saying they're biased. It's just that you want a clean study. And here's the kicker, gals. We want to watch the outcomes 5 to 10 years later. Really important, because if you see the rebound of what happens, and Jillian, you see this.
Oh my
God. How many patients?
I used to have people on The Biggest Loser that had had lap band. They could eat through. I had an assistant that had had gastric bypass and would throw up after every lunch.
I mean, I've
seen people who don't do the deeper work like you were talking about and still struggle with all those issues. Only now they're throwing up. They've got malnutrition issues. So, Dr. V, here's what I would ask you. Let's say, okay, this is great. We've got gastric bypass and your type 2 diabetes is going into remission. This is simply because you're eating less, yes?
Absolutely. So less calories in.
Couldn't you just eat less then and work out and get the same result without cutting your stomach open and having all of these side effects?
Well, hard to do, but it's exactly the goal. Because if you can do it, you still have your stomach. You have your little parietal cells, your gastrin cells, you make intrinsic factor. These are critical hormones made in the stomach. One of the things that concern me is when we look at teenage lap banding and gastric reduction. This is seen mostly in 15 to 18-year-olds. And what we're looking at is patients that are not even in full endocrine hormonal development yet. Now, they may be 300 pounds overweight, which we understand. But there's something, despite just genetics, that has gotten that child to
absolutely.
That level. So you've got a little kid still, if you will, under 21. Hormones aren't fully developed, has to restructure their life, so much work to do. Okay, you can give them a lease on life, but they're going to live, please God, the next, 80 years with a third of their stomach? What's going to happen with their B12 absorption, their vitamin K absorption, their vitamin D, their vitamin A, all these nutrients? How do you get around that? That means you're now committed to supplements for the rest of your life. And you're a little chipper. Remember, for children, it's hugely psychologically important to fit in. And being obese certainly is not only a big health risk, but it's a real emotional killer. So I'm like this with it. But I really have to say, just like if you were going to tell a 16-year-old if they were going to get breast augmentation or a nose job or put chin implants, what would you say? You'd say, let's really counsel. How do we do this? And you can say, well, those aren't for health reasons. And I do respect that as an endocrinologist. I really respect it. There is a place for this. But I was just thinking, as we were about to discuss this, if we keep looking for quick fixes, if we keep looking and surgical outcomes are like this, you can get surgical outcomes like that. You can change your face. You can change your hair. You can change the way your ears are. You can change your hands. You can change everything about your body in a surgery like that. You can also change your stomach in a surgery like that. But does any of it really make sense unless you change what's going on in here and in here? And that's why I think this is very important surgery for many patients. But if this is what our society has become to get rid of diabetes, wow, we're in serious trouble. And if you look at the healthcare crisis, and this is my last point, how many people do you think are actually going to be able to qualify and get this done? And I'm not.
I never even thought about that. I didn't even think about that because I was always hoping it wasn't going to be a solution.
And so think of the trillions of dollars right now going in our healthcare budgets. It's the largest portion of our gross domestic product. Now we're going to start doing surgery on a third of all Americans. And we didn't even include kids in that because all those studies are for 20-year-olds and over, all our incidence data on obesity. Where are we going to begin and end in this? So is it easy for me on a pulpit or you, Jillian, or any of us to say, oh, diet and exercise? Yeah, it's easy. But at the same time, unless you start hitting those strings and putting programs in place. So what I'd say is rather than putting the program in place, get physical education back in the schools, get good nutrition back in there. Let's make foods as affordable, healthy foods as possible. Let's start working with our corporate conglomerates and let's say, hey, we actually need to get fresh vegetables out there, really good protein bars, good drinks. All those things, I think, is where you put the money. Last point, and I said that was my last point, but this is it. If you look on the freeway, how many times every, what, quarter mile that you start seeing these huge ads for lap band, $480?
Gosh, absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. This is the biggest caveat. If you need this, and as I said, it may be indicated. If you really need this, oh, my goodness, please go to a large academic center. Get at least two opinions. I've seen people whose lives have been ruined from side effects, complications. We call them fistulas, where that connection they try and make doesn't connect. Mm-hmm. They start oozing out gastric contents, gastric fluids. Mm-hmm. They have what we call fistulas. They've got tubes where poo, where feces is coming out. They've got tubes where acid is coming out. And you can't sometimes close those in the long run. Wow. So I'm not trying to paint too dismal a picture.
Please do. But I wish you would.
I'm trying to say let's get at the crux of what this is. Okay. What I, as an endocrinologist, would hate to see is that we are saying that not children who are morbidly obese and their risk of death is really high in 5 years, or adults. But what I'm trying to say is for the majority of us that are overweight, this is a Band-Aid.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Van Hurley. And for those of you who do struggle with diabetes, type 1, type 2, please consult your endocrinologist as well and consider the safer, healthier options. Dr. V, thank you so much. As always, you're incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Same to you. Thank you very much. Thank you both. Wow.
Okay, so we are back, and Kelly is waiting to talk to you.
Oh, awesome. Hi, Kelly. What's going on?
Hi. Nice to meet and talk with you, Jillian.
Well, thank you. You too.
I admire all the things that you do to help people understand the importance of nutrition and eating organic, so I appreciate being able to talk to you.
Thank you.
I know it seems kind of ironic that I'm calling you, actually, because I am a registered dietitian.
Excellent.
But I'm also a mother of two little boys, and I work full-time, and I am finding it difficult to lose my last 10 pounds. I work out 4 to 5 days a week. I get up every morning at 4:30 and try to put in 40 to 60 minutes.
God.
But I kind of feel like I've got this mindless eating thing going on, and even as a dietitian, I'm really trying to figure out how to handle that.
What do you mean by that? I think I know what you mean, but can you give me a literal example?
I find myself eating throughout, even when I'm at work, I'll eat throughout the day, or, the whole thought of with working full time and then also, my husband and I raising the two kids, it's just been both of us working. I think it's stress, obviously, and I do work with people, but, that I talk to about it on a daily basis, but for some reason I can't figure out what my problem is.
Well, it's so interesting because
those of us, I think, who, like Deepak Chopra once said to me, what I'm talking about, I'm working on. I thought, God, I do the same thing. It's like I write about what I'm living at the moment or what I've lived through. And then I go, oh, I need to share this. And I think that we, you know, I got into being a trainer when I was younger because fitness had been so transformational for me. And I did struggle with my weight. And I, you know, it's possible for you that maybe this is your passion because you appreciate the importance of nutrition as prevention and enhancing the overall quality of one's life. But it's conceivable that food has become a vice or a coping mechanism for you. And which, by the way, makes perfect sense as to why you would work in the field, to be honest. So if there is, by any chance, for any reason, any judgment or weird issues you feel about that fact, I hope not. Be sure to jettison that. Because if anything, it makes you more relatable and understand the people you work with that much more.
Okay.
Now, this is something that I find when I'm mindlessly eating. There are a couple things that sound like there are a couple things I'm hearing from you. Number one is, you know, you're getting up at 4:30 in the morning to have a little bit of you time to be Absolutely. Able to work yourself out. That's, oh my gosh. I mean, that's hard, pal. So I imagine the time you actually have to yourself to be able to nurture yourself, to be able to, cater to yourself, spoil yourself a little bit is slim to none. And you're working full time and you're raising two kids. And so is your husband. Yeah. So yeah. Can you tell me where you're replenishing yourself, where you're spoiling yourself a little bit? Can you point to specific examples?
Honestly, I feel like being able to get up at 4:15, 4:30 and working out it's almost like a medicine for me. So it is a reward for me. But you know, I'll go get my hair done. But other than that, lately, not much. And that's my husband's biggest. He always says I need to be doing more outside of the family and work. So,
well, okay. You told me you get your hair done, yeah. Not often. All right. So, yeah. Like, if you were to ask me that question, here's what I'd say to you. Well, granted, I'm not managing two kids yet. You know, I'll be interested to answer this question for you in 2 months. But with that said, I've thought a lot about it.
By the way.
Oh, well, gosh, thank you. Hopefully that will be appropriate imminently. But and by the time this airs, I'm hoping. So yeah. With that said, though, I've thought a lot about it. Right. And I do have fear of losing myself. And just in the time, you know, when I go to Haiti and I'm with my daughter, you know, nothing else exists. Now, I don't have anyone there to help me. I don't have, anyone, not a spouse, not a nanny, not a family member. It's just me and my daughter at a guest house. We don't even have a car. We're kind of like in this house together and we can't leave, which is a bizarre scenario. So, but with that said, I've thought a lot about, okay, how am I going to maintain my sanity? How am I going to find the time to work, to see my horse, to take care of myself? And I think that, you know, for moms, they're like, I don't have the money to hire a nanny. I don't have the time to do these things. And a lot of times what happens is we eat because we're like, I deserve this treat. I deserve something. And we eat because it's affordable and it's easy to squeeze in. And it tastes good. Whereas you might say, oh, well, yeah, that's great. You want to get a massage? Okay, I don't have X amount of dollars to do that. Oh, really? You want me to get a massage? How am I going to steal an hour in my day? So I think it's very, very hard for moms to find ways of treating themselves and pampering themselves. But guess what? I think a big part of the solution here is going to be figuring that out, buddy. And, you know, we just did a segment recently about asking for help. And I don't know if it's going to other moms that you know and saying, look, let's take turns babysitting. Saying to your husband, this is my time, this is your time, you know, this night, like you're with the kids, that night I'm with the kids, reaching out to the in-laws and asking them to babysit.
What? Unfortunately, everybody lives in the Midwest. We're kind of, besides my sister, we're here by ourselves.
Okay, so. Your sister's there, though.
Yeah.
That's good.
Far away, yeah.
Okay. Not far away, you said. Did I miss anything?
About a half hour away.
Okay, okay. Good. Okay. So I would do a trade situation where it's like, okay, I'll make you a deal. You take the kids these 2 days of the week, and I'll take your kids these 2 days of the week. Or maybe it's like, I really need your help right now. If you could do this for me, like, I'll help you in another area. Maybe it's helping her with work or wherever it could be. But finding, like, three times during the week where you can either engage in a hobby that you love or get a massage, or for me, you know, I love to ride my horse. It doesn't have to be an expensive habit either. Whatever, you know, another thing I love to do is like look for beach glass, which luckily I'll be able to do that with the kids. But my point is, there are things we love to do that cost money, and there are things that we love to do that don't. So whatever it is that you love to do, that you loved to do before the kids, that really is a luxury for you, you've got to start asking people to help you so that you can find the time. Otherwise, yeah, food is going to be the reward. And that's, you know, that's not good. Now, 10 pounds, you're not huge. So this is, you know, this is not a...
I feel huge. This is the heaviest I've been, well, besides being pregnant, so...
I understand that feeling. I really do. I mean, 10 pounds is not huge, but for somebody who's fit and a registered dietitian, when we're not in great shape, we're like, oh my God, we have that, you know, that moment where it's like, whoa, you feel like you've let yourself go. And you know what? You have, not physically, but you've let yourself go, and you've prioritized everybody else's needs. You've let your needs go. And, I mean, what do you think about this?
I feel like you're completely right, but I feel like as a mom, I don't know how to let that go. When I am away getting my hair done, I feel bad that my boys don't have me around because they're already missing me all day, and then I have to go take care of my hair at night. So, but I also see your point. It's just trying to get to there, I guess.
Okay, I understand that. That's such an American thing, by the way, that whole guilty thing. And we put it on each other as well, of like, you know, the boys need you, you crappy mom, or whatever it might be. But it's very interesting. I was reading this book about French parenting. And the French parents, like, they make sure that they're okay and their marriage is okay. And they're like, look, when I'm happy and the marriage is good, the kids are happy. But when you're running yourself ragged and you're not taking care of you, kids, no matter how old they are, I promise you, they feel it. They sense that. I can't tell you how many kids I've dealt with on Loser, or, you know, whose clients' children I've spoken to years ago, and they worry about their parents. And then the kids feel guilty that you're not taking care of yourself. So I just want you to try to do this. Just take little baby steps with this. Just try to, you know, as you stretch this emotional fabric a little bit, and as you let yourself do more, and you see that the husband is okay and the kids are okay, you know, that they're better when you're better, you've got to really begin to move into that uncomfortable space. You have to take that leap of faith and get uncomfortable with it to become more comfortable with it. There's no, I can't ease you into this. You have to take the leap. You've got to put yourself there. But I'm telling you that when you do, you're going to start noticing all of these positive benefits, and they're going to help you maintain these changes. Just try it. Try it for 2 weeks. Get yourself three times a week where you can really do and pamper luxury, meet your own needs, treat yourself. 2 weeks. And at the end of the second week, I want you to call back in. I want you to email us, and I want you to let us know how it's going.
Okay. And do you think Body Revolution is a good thing for me, or is that something for somebody that's a little heavier?
I don't think you need to spend the money. Okay. I mean, like, here's the thing with Body Revolution. It's for somebody who has a lot of weight to lose. Now, granted, if you used it, would you get in great shape? Absolutely. You'd need to up your calories, because I, you know, the whole point is I want people to take off like 50 pounds. And like, men, I don't want them to lose like 50 to 70. Women, I want to lose like 40, 35 to 50. So for someone like you, I would want you to be eating, you know, I put the calories at 1200. I'd want you to be eating, you know, at least 1800 calories, you know, because you only
want to lose 5 feet tall.
But sweetheart, you want to lose 10 pounds. You don't want to create a deficit of over 500 calories a day.
Okay.
Because, remember, it's vanity pounds. So it's like, we don't want to shut your metabolism down. You're going to be burning probably 2,500 with your running around and the working and the exercise. And so, I mean, at the very least, I put you at 1,600. Whereas, like, okay. You could buy Ripped in 30, and that would work perfectly for you, and it's $10. Like, okay. Again, Body Revolution is awesome. You know what? I will send it to you as a gift from me to you. And like, I think you'd love it. I'm going to say, like, look, it's $120 because it's 15 workouts and, you know, the equipment and the diet plan and all this stuff. So I don't like people to spend the money when they don't need to spend the money. If you have 10 pounds to lose, that's what Ripped in 30 is for. You know, that's what my individual standalone DVDs do. But I'm going to get my assistant, Brittany, to contact you, and she'll send it out to you as a gift from me to you. Okay.
Thank you.
Now start asking for more help. Like, you just said that to me, and look what happens.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You better start doing this. I want a report.
I will. I definitely will. Definitely send you guys an email or call.
Thank you, honey. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Janice, you have her info, right? Okay. We'll be in touch. Aw. God, these poor mothers. Oh, my God. They kill me. They break my heart. They feel so guilty when they don't. I wonder if I'm going to feel this guilty. I don't know yet. There's no way to know.
Of course you're going to feel this guilty. Of course you will. I feel bad when I have to leave Millie when I go to yoga.
The dog, yeah.
See, and she's got two. I get it when she's going to get her hair done and she feels bad about leaving.
But we don't have a choice. It's not an option. We've got to do it.
We've got to take care of ourselves.
Yeah,
well,
we do.
No,
but you take care of your dad. You're caretaking. It's the same thing. Trust me, it's the same thing. And I don't know. Moms, I mean it. You're not helping anybody by letting yourself get spread so thin like that. You hear that woman is struggling and she's not satisfied. And let me tell you, the kids pick it up. I think one of the greatest gifts my mom ever gave me is she was like, I gotta get my nails done. You can come with me or you can stay home and watch cartoons. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Sometimes I went with her and I got my nails done with her. And sometimes I stayed home and like played with my buddy and, you know, in the yard who lived across the street. Or sometimes I watched cartoons. My mom went to the gym. She had the best leotards. My mom, I'm not kidding, man. She was like, you know, like the whole thing with the tights and the leotards. And I, by the way, was so proud of her. I was so proud of my hot mom. I had a hot mom. I was like, that's my mom. Isn't she pretty? You know, and she looked good and she took care of herself. And then my mom went back to school and got her degree in she's a doctor, for God's sake. You know, and now I'm so proud that I have a mom who's a doctor. And she started when I was 13 going back to school. And, you know, so I guess I'm just saying, like, look, I was an only child, too. I didn't have a buddy to play with. So I figured it out. And your kids are going to figure it out, and then they're going to follow your example. They're going to take care of themselves in the same way. That's it. That's my speech. I can't wait to see how this is going to be for me with... Oh, please don't let me eat my words. Please,
no,
God.
No. I think as long as you can ask your mom for one of those leotards.
Yeah.
And you wear that for however many children you end up having in your life. And then they can then say...
I'm not having more than two kids. No way.
No, because I want your kids to say... My mom wore a leotard. She was a hot mom.
It was the 80s, you monster. It's the 80s. It's the 80s.
Okay, we got to go.
Good. Goodbye. Oh, I just said goodbye.
I know. It's shocking. Yeah. Never heard you just say goodbye.
I know. I just willingly said goodbye. Well.
All right. Well, then.
Well, fine.
Tiddly-tiddly-do.
Say, 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 say you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.